And I was all prepared to share about sexuality from a clinical psychologist's perspective, but I also was going to share some of the struggles that I've had in my own life. And I was so nervous as I got on stage and I looked at these women. And I began to speak about sexuality, and the women were completely quiet, which made me feel even more nervous. And they're not saying anything, they're just looking at me. And I had this silent prayer life going with the Lord, and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. I must have heard you wrong. I'll never speak about sex again. Little did I know.
Welcome to a special episode of Job with Julie. I'm not Julie, I'm Mike Slattery, Julie's husband. Job with Julie is an outreach of authentic intimacy, a ministry dedicated to reclaiming God's design for sexuality. And Authentic Intimacy is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year, and the theme of our anniversary celebration is Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Come and see what God has done, His awesome works for mankind. And this week, we're doing just that. Authentic Intimacy was founded in July of 2012. But to start our story, we're going to have to go back to 2011, when Julie was at her dream job, co-hosting Focus on the Family daily broadcast and teaching at the Focus Institute.
A question for you ladies. You know what it's like to be married to your husband, but what do you think it's like to be married to you?
I have no clue.
Here's Authentic Intimacy co-founder Linda Dillo.
After I'd written What's It Like to Be Married to Me, which is a book on marriage, Julie interviewed me, and I didn't know Julie. And you know, Dr. Julie asks good questions. So she asked me about that book that no interviewer had asked me before. And I was so impressed.
And the guest we have is Linda Dillo, and she's written a book called What's It Like to Be Married to Me?
John, I see a lot of books come across my desk here at Focus on the Family, and this is one that grabbed my attention immediately.
Why is that?
I think I've probably read it 3 times now.
Really?
It challenged me so much to look at who I am as a wife, and the thing I like most about...
We just really connected at that interview, and we began emailing and talking, mainly emailing because... My husband and I went to Cambridge, England for 6 weeks for him to study. And she probably didn't know that I knew what she was doing, but she was asking me specific questions because she wanted a deeper relationship with me, but she was going to check me out first.
So when I first met Linda, it was when she was finishing her book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? And I remember at that stage of marriage as a wife, like really wanting some guidance and counsel on how I handle things in my marriage. And her book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me, really ministered to me. I felt like it was one of those books that the Holy Spirit just took and convicted me of some things that I needed to repent from and some perspectives that I needed changed. So meeting Linda also had a very personal impact in my own life and marriage.
As the two women continued to get to know each other, Linda invited Julie to a night of prayer and fasting at one of her favorite places, Praise Mountain. They spent the entire night in a cabin up in the woods with nothing to do but pray and read, no food or electronics allowed.
We just had such a special time of sharing and praying, and I don't really have any words to describe what God did in that cabin. I know that we spent a lot of our time on our knees worshiping, and I prayed over Julie and asked God to give her what she wanted, a deeper intimacy with Him. And I went to bed, and Julie never went to bed. She was up all night, just on her knees, walking around on her knees. And I don't know what words to put to what He did that night, but for 8 months, she had a pain in her heart, a physical pain, and that pain was for God's woman.
Linda was right. For the next several months, Julie was restless.
I had been going through this period of time, probably about 6 months or so, of just really seeking God's face and wanting to know more of Him. He just called me to seek Him. There's no other way to put it. And during that time, there was this restlessness in my heart. And I actually had a pain in my chest that I would experience in prayer. Sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and feel it. And during that period of time where I was seeking God and feeling that, Linda started to say to me, "I think that God is putting a call on your life."
And I think she was shocked about that. I think Mike was shocked, but it just became so clear that I think Julie would tell you she did not really like to talk about sexual intimacy. I mean, this was not her thing. And she just said, "When you prayed over me in that cabin, did you just give me all of the burden for sexual intimacy and pain that God had given you? Did you transfer it to me?" I said, "I don't know what God did. But yes, God gave you that. He gave her the burden."
At the same time that God was speaking to Julie, three Kiwis across the ocean had recently been impacted by a program to lead men out of sexual sin and into a walk of sexual integrity. It was doing really well, and many of the men were finding victory for the first time in their lives. Their wives, on the other hand, were having more trouble. Here's Tim Sisseridge, who is the president and Focus on the Family in New Zealand at the time.
And we brought these men to the foot of the cross, and we found actually that, and generally speaking, most women were actually on their high holy hill in a way hoping that their men wouldn't turn up. And they just weren't geared for having the conversation where men were saying, "Can we be transparent? Can we be open? Can we be honest? Can I talk about my feelings here?" Because there was a sense that these women were grappling with their own things, and while their husband wasn't quite there, it allowed them to kind of appear more spiritual. So we discovered actually that the issue wasn't just about men, it was about people. So we were looking around thinking, well, what do we do? How do we speak to women? Our office was predominantly, it was quite male heavy. And so we thought, we can't even talk in this space. So we were looking around and we thought, Julie Slattery, that she's in Focus on the Family. Let's get her to do something. For those people that have not met Dr. Julie Slattery, she's a little lady, right? She's just little and she's quite unassuming, and she is very kind of clinical in her approach to a lot of things. But when you listen to her when she was doing the broadcast on Focus on the Family, and when you start to spend time with her, you start to realize that actually she's not afraid to talk about this stuff. She's not afraid to weigh into it. And she's a much bigger person than her little frame. So we suddenly realized that she had this sort of wealth of information, if only we could find a platform for it to be shared.
Tim and his co-workers approached Julie about writing a Bible study for women about God's design for sexuality.
And she said, "But I want to bring another woman in." But the real problem was I was the age of their mothers, and they could not imagine their mothers speaking about sex. That just absolutely threw them for a loop. And so they literally flew here to meet me because they were very hesitant for Julie to bring this older woman in to do this project with me. So they came, and I guess I passed the test because Julie and I wrote Passion Pursuit. What kind of love are you making?
So in 2012, Linda and Julie began writing Passion Pursuit, a 10-week study through the book of Song of Solomon, and recorded a video series to go with the Bible study.
And I want you to listen carefully. His message says, no matter how many men you have been with, or women, no matter how many abortions you've had, if you've been involved in pornography, if you have done something so vile that you could never speak it out loud, our God is a God who forgives. He is the Redeemer.
Sex is such a beautiful gift because it is a metaphor of God's love for His people. So what else more precious than sex for Satan to go after? And he goes after it every way he can. That's why we're so passionate about Passion Pursuit, because we're not just here to help you with your marriage. We're here to help you reclaim and proclaim the beauty of what God has created.
The enemy has sold the church a lie, and the lie goes like this. When you come to Christ, he cleans up a lot of areas of your life, but there's one area beyond his redemptive healing power, and that's your sexuality. That is a lie from the pit. My God is the Redeemer, and there is nothing that he cannot redeem.
Julie was certain about what God was calling her to do, to start teaching his design for sexual intimacy. But she still had one little hiccup, her dream job as co-host of Focus on the Family daily radio broadcast.
Leaving was not an easy thing. It's one of those situations where I knew that God was calling me to step into the space of teaching on sexual intimacy, and I wanted to see if it was possible for me to do that within my role at Focus. But as I brought that to Focus and the leadership team prayed over it, it just wasn't the right fit. So I knew that this was God's plan. I knew that he was taking me away from Focus. But at the same time, it was a loss. And Mike, you were there with me. You remember just the heartbreak of that.
It was tough.
Grieving that, and I had to grieve it, but I never doubted that that's what God was asking me to do.
I do remember it. I remember wondering, now that you quit your job, how are we going to pay for a new ministry? That's a God story.
It is. I mean, I think sometimes God knows that we need to see the Red Sea parted in order to walk through.
You got to put your foot in first,
like,
right?
Yes. But... you were like, yeah, I think he looked at me and he said, yeah, Julie's not going to do this unless
I... Or your financial husband. Yeah. Like, wait, you can't do this from scratch. Well, hold on, that's not financially responsible.
I feel like he was like, you guys have too little faith. I'm going to have to make this really obvious for you. But the short of it is that one of those men, David Sutherland, had started a business. He is an entrepreneur.
Yes,
and
he
a
is.
Successful one. Sold the business, had funds from that, and he generously gave out of his funds to start the ministry.
So my background is in social work. I'm a social worker, and I was working in Akron, Ohio, working with low-income families.
That's Julie's cousin, Hannah Nitz.
And when Julie approached me about working with Authentic Intimacy, I just didn't get it. I really didn't. I was just in such a field where I was helping people and it was so tangible and it was right in front of me and you could see this hurt or this brokenness. And when Julie described what they did and talking to Christians about sex, I just thought, you know what? I just don't really think that helping like middle class white women have better sex lives is like really holy work. I just didn't get it. I just felt like what I was doing was so much more spiritual. And man, I will never forget the very first event. It was an Authentic Intimacy event that I went to, and it was before I was working with the team. So it was probably in 2012, and it was in downtown Chicago. And it was at a very large church. It was a Friday night event with Julie and Linda talking. And I was like, okay, so this is where Julie wants me to work. Like, these women are going to church on a Friday night. So obviously they like know God and care about him if this is what they're choosing to do on a Friday. They all look pretty put together and cute. And Julie and Linda started teaching and I loved what they were talking about. And I was very intrigued and kind of drawn into the conversation. But the part that really began to open my eyes was during the Q&A part. This was before we had figured out technology advancements at Authentic Intimacy. So the Q&A portion for this event was on like 3x5 note cards. And people would write out their question, pass it to the end of the aisle. And I was the one who would walk up and down, pick up these note cards, read them, and hand them to Julie and Linda. And again, I look around and I see these very put together church women in Chicago. And when I started reading the note cards, I was just blown away. I honestly, blown away isn't even the right word. I was heartbroken. I was shocked. I remember reading one of the very first questions on these note cards. It said, I was sexually abused by my brother all growing up and want absolutely nothing to do with sex. What should I do? Another one said, my husband is super open about his constant cheating on me, and I never want to have sex with him because we're still married. Should I? Another one that said, I'm more attracted to women in my life than I am my spouse. Is something wrong with me? And it was like question after question about porn, about brokenness, about abuse. And it was like, I looked around the room and I was like, these women are the exact same as the women that I'm serving in my social work setting. They just look a lot more put together. But the pain is the same. The brokenness is the same. The need for the gospel is the same. And like, this work is real. Like, we all have this brokenness. We all carry this pain. Some of us can just hide it a little bit better.
Soon after, in 2013, Java with Julie released its first episode.
Well, welcome to Java with Julie, and I'm so excited that you joined us and that you're checking out what we're doing here. This is going to be a very different podcast than maybe what you're used to with radio or podcast. There are so many great Christian radio shows.
I did have the training of doing interviews at Focus, and mm-hmm. I loved it. I remember at Focus, I started my own little show. And Dan Robbins, if you're listening, you produced it for me. You let me have my little playground. Mm-hmm. And I think I called it Tough Questions.
Okay.
Because I always love to ask the hard question. So even...
Yeah, I know. I get them.
Yeah, you get them all the time. So if I'm listening to a conversation or I'm interviewing an author, I don't want to just ask the questions that they're expecting. Mm-hmm. I want to go a level deeper and say, yeah, but how about this? And so I got that practice and the hunger for that when I was at Focus. And then shortly after we started Authentic Intimacy, we had a partnership with Moody, like Moody Radio, Moody Media. And they encouraged me to do the podcast. And actually, the podcast for the first several years was on Moody Radio on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. That's all I need. So you can tell that this conversation is going to be a lot of fun. But we are going to tackle some pretty serious topics here at Java with Julie. I know that there are so many things that are on the hearts of...
With Java with Julie airing every Saturday on Moody Radio and the Passion Pursuit release in 2013... The ministry of authentic intimacy began to take shape. Women who were going through Passion Pursuit were seeing incredible changes in their hearts and marriages. This is Ginger, a volunteer who led several Passion Pursuit studies.
I had one woman who had been married 50 years who was in one of my groups. And the very first chapter, that first scripture about the wise woman builds her house by her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. And she realized right there when she read that scripture in the very first chapter how she had been failing in her marriage. It's going to make me cry because 50 years of marriage, women were being changed. It doesn't matter if you're engaged to newly married to 50 years of marriage. The book had a lot of power, and I've seen women embrace sexuality in a whole different way, and they saw truth for the first time.
As Julie and Linda started speaking, they began to realize that it wasn't only married Christian women who had confusion and pain around their sexuality, and the ministry began to shift. It wouldn't be the last time.
We would have these events for women that were focused on marriage, and we'd have a woman show up and she'd say, I want to be here, but I'm single. Is that okay? They'd almost apologize right. for being there. And one day it just dawned on me. I'm like, single women are sexual too. Who's speaking to them? And why have we bought this belief that single women are not supposed to learn about God's design for sex? Mm-hmm. The reality is that a lot of single women have had sex before. Many of them have been married before. They're wondering about what to do with their sexual desires. They even have a good curiosity about what is sex supposed to look like in marriage, because all they're getting is what the world is promoting. Mm-hmm. So that was the first shift. And it really happened around the time where the 50 Shades of Grey conversation was happening. And Dana Gresh and I co-wrote Pulling Back the Shades. Mm-hmm. So we started to have events that were specifically around Pulling Back the Shades, but also just our conferences became broader to include sexuality and singleness as well as sexuality and marriage.
Well, I'm glad to be here in State College. It is beautiful here, a little different from my hometown in Colorado. And I just have to say, I noticed driving in that you guys have like these cute little ski slopes. Do you really ski on those things? Some people do. What does it take you, like 10 seconds to get down and then you get back up? Who skis on those? You do a couple, you've got to. It's particularly for me an awkward thing to get up every day and to write and speak on sexuality when I have at home three teenage boys. Imagine how those three guys feel. You know, if their friends are like, "Hey, what does your mom do?" But when you look at marriage and the conflict that a husband and wife can often have about sexuality, sexuality can be one of the greatest tests of how you love each other. We hear about it being a gift, and we hear about it being a holy metaphor and something that God created to show His love. There might be a part of you that is saying, "I can't get there," because my experience of sexuality has been exploitive, it's been brokenness, or it's been sex is all about shame and it's dirty, and I can't imagine that God would even speak that word, because Satan, our enemy, has distorted it.
Watching behind the scenes how the two of them operated all the way till how they were up on the stage could not be more different. And the combination that they gave both on stage at events with their writing and teaching with Passion Pursuit, as they would even be on the microphones with Java with Julie, it was just such a beautiful dance that the two of them did.
My very first assignment at Grace Church as the pastor of Marriage and Care Ministries was to help organize and put on this conference from this new ministry called Authentic Intimacy. This was back in 2013. And honestly, I looked at this, I looked at the conversation that was going to be had, and I was immediately blushing. This was all new to me. And then personally, if anybody's read Rethinking Sexuality, there's an anonymous section in one of the later chapters that speaks of a pastor's wife that involves where she was reading through Passion Pursuit. And at one point, that Passion Pursuit book found its way into the garbage can. And so it was a pretty chaotic and conflict filled start to my relationship with authentic intimacy in our marriage, in our ministry. So growing up, very much the purity narrative, the purity culture is what both me and my wife would have been raised in. And outside of the scripture, our number one teaching on biblical sexuality was Josh Harris's books. And so you look at Boy Meets Girl and I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Those were the manuals that we would have lived by. We thought we understood it. The way that the paradigms in which we lived made sense at least a little bit. But then once you get married, once you start running into having children, just as life was happening, these things were not making sense and stuff did start to fall apart. And so it was critical. It was critical timing in our marriage.
After the first few years, Authentic Intimacy seemed to be running on two tracks. First, the ministry track was seeing huge wins in the kingdom. After Pulling Back the Shades in 2014, Julie wrote another book called 25 Questions You're Afraid to Ask About Love, Sex, and Intimacy. That came out in 2015. Surprised by the Healer, which she and Linda co-wrote together, followed shortly after in February of 2016. On the financial side of things, however, the ministry could barely gain traction, let alone grow.
I remember there was a period of a few years where God was blessing the ministry. We could see lives being changed left and right, but He wasn't blessing the financial pieces of the ministry. And I remember reading books, trying to figure out how do you run a business? How do you run a startup organization? We hired consultants who would come in and tell us how we could raise millions of dollars by doing events and fundraisers. And none of it seemed to fit. Mm-hmm. And so there was about a year and a half to 2 years where I was carrying this burden of, how do I keep the doors open? And every day checking the bank account, like, can we make payroll today?
It was just upside down from any business book or success book I think I had ever read. Because Julie reads God's word, spends time with him every day, and does what he says. That's her business plan.
I think for me, it was more confusing because, again, the ministry piece of it was thriving, but the structure underneath was not. And so it was like a Rubik's Cube I kept trying to figure out. And God kept giving me everything I needed next. He would show me what the next book should be. He'd show me what we should be talking about on the podcast. He'd give me the wisdom, but he wasn't giving me the pieces that I needed to run the ministry. And so that was really confusing for me. And nobody else around me seemed to know either.
And while the message was clearly resonating with women on an individual level, getting the message to large groups of women in churches proved to be a challenge.
So it was a hard territory trying to convince people to come to an event on sexuality within the church. And I think that led to struggles just with our whole model at Authentic Intimacy of how we were bringing in income to keep the ministry going when we would do events and put all this time and energy into it, because we knew that people who came were so like radically ministered to and changed. And we were at an event and we could see it. Like, we could see women coming up, talking to Julie, talking to Linda, and saying things like, this is an area that I have never, ever, ever said out loud. Or this is a struggle that I have had that it makes me not trust God because of this in sexuality. Or my marriage is so painful around the area of sexuality that literally I daydream about getting divorced. And this freedom and this invitation and this beauty to know God and know sexuality and just this, it was just incredible what happened at these events. So then we would have that happen and we'd be like, this is amazing. We need to do this again. But when we'd get there and start planning this event, it was like an uphill battle all over again.
It turns out not every church leader was on board with an outside organization coming in and talking about sexuality.
A big reason was churches and church leadership were a little scared, skeptical, unsure. Like, okay, you guys are coming all day to talk about sex? Like, and a woman is teaching this? What does this mean? What's going to be said? There was a lot of apprehension. Then there would be a different level of concern about doing an authentic intimacy event. I remember a really candid conversation with a pastor that was giving us a lot of resistance to doing an event and not sure if we should invite our women, not sure if this is something we want to get on board with. And after all these conversations, he finally said, if we're honest, he said, I think a lot of our apprehension is we know that so many people are carrying such deep pain around sexuality. And we fear that you will come in, have this conversation, have this conference, all these wounds will be open, you guys leave, and we don't know what to do. And man, I remember hearing that conversation and so respecting the pastor being that honest. And it wasn't just like, I don't know, we don't want to talk about sex, which we also heard, or like, I don't know if we're ready to commit to that. But also this reality of, this is going to stir up a lot of things, and we as a church don't really know how to deal with talking about pain around sexuality.
As Hannah struggled to book and fill events, Julie was facing a much more emotional challenge. Another shift was happening within the ministry.
Well, I would say like a year or two into it, Linda started saying things to me when we'd speak like, you know, this is what God has called you to. I was just here to help you get it started. And so she was dropping me hints and I think preparing her own heart for that transition. And then we had a board member then who is a good friend of mine. She's on Job with Julie every now and then, Yvette Marr. And Yvette, she says it like it is.
Oh, she's fun.
She is fun. And I love Yvette because she'll say the thing that no one else wants to say. She calls things out, and she's done that several times in my life, and she did that at that point in the ministry. We started to feel this tension that we didn't know how to name, but God was calling me to speak on more than sex and marriage. I started addressing some of the things that were happening in culture, starting with 50 Shades of Grey, but also some of the questions around LGBTQ, pornography. The ministry, the scope of what we were discussing was so much broader. Mm-hmm. And Linda's calling really was to minister to wives in their sexual relationship, and also to talk a lot about intimacy with God, which is where we started the ministry. And so at one of our board meetings, this was before the emergency board meeting, Yvette just said to us, "Julie, I feel like you're running and God's calling you to run. And you keep looking back and saying, you know, Linda, are you still with me? Because we're going on to all these new topics." And Linda's not comfortable 100% with those new topics.
So Julie and I went out and I said, "Julie, I see God moving again." And she said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "I see him pushing you forward and I see him pushing you back." "Well, no, Linda, I don't want you to leave." And it was very hard for both of us because we were a team.
We both cried a lot during that period of time, realizing that this is what the Lord had. And it was hard. It was hard for both of us. It's hard when you're running with somebody and then you realize that God is asking you to part ways, not because you have any disagreement. It's just his plan. And it was consistent with how God was stirring in Linda's heart, but it was still sad. So it was at that point, it was probably about 6 months or so before we had that emergency board meeting, that Linda started to phase out. I started speaking alone, doing the podcast more alone.
And just when things felt like they couldn't get any harder, a surprise by the Hewlett event that the ministry was counting on to carry next month's payroll didn't.
I remember when it hit kind of rock bottom. We had planned this surprise by the Healer event. We had the book had just come out. We were really looking forward to it. It was at our home church, Rocky Mountain Calvary. And we go through this event, and probably like 350 women showed up, which is, now I look back, a pretty good showing for an event in a church. But we had our budget dependent on those events.
Yeah.
And so that was the main way we would get revenue, was to sell tickets to these conferences. And I remember having this reaction, like Hannah was so excited because she loved event days, because she would pour herself into it and plan it. And then she would just be in tears watching the woman come in, the women like just have God meet them. And she was elated after the event. Mm-hmm. Like, did you see what God did? And I was the opposite. I was like, I can't make payroll. I give up. Like, there's no answer for this. And it was within that next few weeks that I made the decision at the time, like, I think we just have to close the ministry.
In the fall of 2016, not knowing what else to do, Julie went back to her board of directors.
So this wasn't the, "We don't have any more money, I don't know what to do." That was maybe like a few months earlier. This was, "We have no money and I quit." Like, you guys figure it out.
I'm done.
Yeah, and I just was in tears. And I just said, I feel like I failed. Because God has given this great ministry and I can't keep it going.
And you don't fail at stuff.
No, but I failed at that.
Yeah, well, you felt you failed, I should say, because you really didn't.
I wonder if you remember this. We were sitting at our favorite restaurant in Colorado, Modern Market.
Yeah.
And that's where we'd have our Saturday dates.
That's right.
And we were sitting at our favorite table.
Mm-hmm. The high top.
Do you remember I just broke down?
Yeah, and everybody looked at me like I said.
That's what you remember.
I looked like, I have people give me dirty looks like I just told you you weigh too much or something. I said something very to make you cry.
And I don't cry easily.
No, you don't. You cry like 3 times a year.
Yeah. But I just broke down.
Yeah,
I remember feeling like, okay, like that was when the words came out of my mouth.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I failed. I'm done. And so the board meeting happened shortly after that. And my board just kind of looked at me like, well, we don't know what to do.
I know.
And
you're the one coming with all the ideas.
Yeah. And, you know, the board did the most loving thing that they could do. They resigned. And they all said, we love you. We believe in this ministry, but we have failed you. Like, yeah. We don't feel like we have what it takes to help you.
It shows maturity.
Yeah, it really does. And so all of them resigned, and they said, if you want any of us to stay after you've thought and prayed about it, let us know.
Yeah.
But we all feel like we need to submit our resignations. And so I had decided at that point, just through prayer, I need to boil the ministry down to the core of what God first called me to do, mm-hmm. and get rid of everything extra, cut everything in half, cut my salary in half.
But you had to lay off people, though.
Yeah, I did. But I think we had 6 employees, mm-hmm. and I had to let 3 of them go.
Once again, here's Hannah Nitz.
And honestly, it's confusing because when you hear Julie's story and Julie and Linda's story, it was a pretty radical God encounter that started Authentic Intimacy. I mean, it was clear, it was from God. So when you get to the point when you're out of money and shutting down, that can feel spiritually confusing because all of a sudden it's like, God, did I hear you correctly?
Whether or not we hear God correctly, we know one thing for sure. He always hears us. Remember Ginger, who is leading the women through Passion Pursuit and praying for women at the conferences? She'd gathered a prayer team, and that team had begun praying for Authentic Intimacy, Julie, and the staff since the ministry began. And by the way, they're still praying today. Here's Ginger.
I did not know how bad things were until after the Colorado Surprise by the Healer conference. And it was soon after that that I found out we had basically run out of money. I was devastated because I felt that ministry had been having such an impact. And the prayer team and I, we did not stop praying. We prayed through it. And it's amazing what God did through those prayers.
So Julie met with each staff member to let them know she needed to drastically cut back the ministry. No more Java with Julie. No more working on building the community. Authentic Intimacy was basically just to be Julie doing some writing and speaking. She left the board meeting you heard about a minute ago, discouraged, not sure what to do next. But God wasn't done with Authentic Intimacy.
What happened at that board meeting is another miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're meeting. I obviously am not looking at my phone. But during that meeting, I mean, actually during the time we're having this discussion, I get a voicemail from...
Everybody's resigning.
Yes.
Resigning. Okay.
From a guy named Steve Ullman. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of Steve before. And he tracked down my number through a mutual friend and left me this voicemail. And he said, hi, Julie. I'm from Arizona. I'm in Colorado Springs visiting family. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to find you. And I went to your address, but it's a P.O. box.
Right.
And so I called a mutual friend and they gave me your number. And my wife and I would like to meet with you and your husband while we're in town because we'd really like to support your ministry. I think it was like a day or two later.
Yep.
We met with him.
Yep.
And this is another man that was a businessman. He had started a plastic company and sold it. And he and his wife, Barbara, told us their story mm-hmm. of brokenness, of sexual brokenness that God had restored and redeemed. And they just had this calling to support ministries that talked about particularly sexual brokenness. And so I just sit there sort of with my mouth open, like, I can't believe you called me while I was ready to shut down the ministry.
Right.
And I said to him, your timing is just God, because here's a conversation we had with the board just yesterday or the day before. And we're getting ready to shut the podcast down. And he basically says, okay, well, how much do you need?
He was connected to Authentic Intimacy and called Julie and essentially said, I feel this stirring so heavy. I'm in a financial spot to give large amounts generously. and I just want to know, how much do you need? Which, that just sounds like something out of a movie. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how it felt.
And he gets his checkbook out and he's ready to write a check. He goes, don't cancel, you know, don't stop things. And I said, Stephen Barbara, that's so generous and it's obvious that this is God's timing, but I need a week to pray about it because I really don't know what to do. So I took that week and prayed about it, and I called Steve back and I said, you know, God sent you to me to tell me not to close down this ministry, mm-hmm. like to keep going, but I don't feel like I can take any money mm-hmm. because I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Like if you have the wrong business model, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how much money you
right.
have,
right.
you'll eventually end up in the same place. And
right.
I knew I had the wrong model.
Right.
So I said, what I really need you to do is to help me work with a consultant, find somebody that can show me how to build a ministry that can be sustainable financially. And that's what he did. He paid for me to meet with a consulting firm.
Yep,
that,
Phoenix,
yeah, that helped us build a better business strategy and ministry strategy.
God had been bestowing his power and blessing on Authentic Intimacy all along. He was leading. He was in the details. In the 11th hour, he showed up once again with the finances too. Ministry continued, and in 2017, Sex and the Single Girl came out. Yet the focus in the ministry was subtly beginning to shift yet again.
I started using that phrase, sexual discipleship. I remember the first time I used it, I think I was on a radio interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to describe what we do at Authentic Intimacy and how we need to move beyond sex education and really look at what it is to disciple related to sexuality. And I think I made the statement that the average Christian is sexually discipled by the culture, not by the scriptures.
Right.
And that weird phrase just kind of caught on, and I started using it more and more. But what it's come to be for the ministry is really trying to equip Christians with a framework for how do we understand God's heart for sexual issues? How do we speak into people's lives in a way that isn't just about their behavior, but is calling them to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? How do we interact in a culture that sees these issues so much differently than we do?
In 2018, the book Rethinking Sexuality came out, and Hannah Nitz was Julie's biggest encourager. She had never stopped nagging Julie about writing it. Here's Hannah describing the moment she realized Julie had another book inside her just waiting to be written.
It was this pastor's breakout session. So she wasn't on a huge stage. We were in a pretty small room. But the funny thing was, is there was not one empty seat. And when I tell you that this tiny breakout room was packed with pastors who wanted to hear a woman talk about how to minister on sexuality, it was packed. And I remember sitting there and hearing Julie teach and watching these pastors. And when I say the room was silent, I mean there was not... No one was looking at their phones. No one was flipping through papers. It was like all eyes were on Julie and people couldn't look away. She's teaching through this idea of sexual discipleship. Like, what if we as pastors, as leaders, take this idea of discipling others and this call to make disciples and we apply it to the area of sexuality, leading people to God in the area of sexuality. And when I heard this, it was like, fireworks were going off in my brain. I couldn't believe what she was saying. I had been following her for years, listening to all these conferences, and it was this sense of like, this is it. Like, this is the message.
The book Rethinking Sexuality came from this passion that I don't want to be the only one doing this.
Right.
And God has taught me so much. I still have a lot to learn, but I want my brothers and sisters in Christ to learn the things that God is teaching me and equip the church to feel confident to enter into these conversations, to wade into the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really the heart behind that book. It was interesting when I took it to the publisher to get published, one of the publishers said, this is actually your first book. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, this is, I think it was book number 10. And he said, no, this book is the foundation of everything else that you've written and learned.
So we would come in for an all-day conference on Saturday, and Julie said, how about Friday night? We just get all the church staff in the room and we help equip them so they don't feel like we just like come in and stir up all this stuff and take off. So this slowly began to grow, this idea of not just equipping individuals, but really helping people and leaders and churches and pastors really understand how to teach and talk and disciple through sexuality.
It really changed, again, the focus of the ministry. All of a sudden, we were no longer a women's ministry. We were an all-church ministry. The message of Rethinking Sexuality was to men and women. And so it's almost like within a week, everything went from women's ministry directors contacting us, like, will you come and speak to our women, to like family pastors calling, or, you know, discipleship pastors calling, hey, will you come speak to our whole church? And so I was doing events like that around the Rethinking Sexuality book. And we hadn't done an authentic intimacy event since that fateful day, whenever it was in 2000.
Surprised by the
yes.
Year.
Yep. Uh-huh. And so we had switched to a model of, I basically would receive an honorarium. Other churches would have me come, they'd do their promotions, they'd sell tickets if they wanted to, but that way Authentic Intimacy had sustainable income.
Right.
But we were building the ministry back up, and this new book had come out. Men and women were rallying around it, and we thought, okay, now is a time where the Authentic Intimacy community has grown so much that let's have our own event and just gather our community around this message. And the word that came to me was reclaim. That word reclaim just was like a buzz. It was just running around in my head. Reclaim, reclaim, reclaim. That's what God called us to do.
And in the fall of 2019, just months before the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Authentic Intimacy community gathered for the first time at the Reclaim Conference in Northeastern Ohio.
Every church, there's stories that are hidden and are silenced, and there's shame that it feels like we can't speak out loud. And there's things that we're carrying that we believe the Word of God doesn't speak into. And that's what we're here to reclaim, is to reclaim the fact that there are no secrets with God. That even though we feel like we have to hide things, He knows everything about us. And not only does He know everything about us, He wants to speak life and truth into every aspect of our lives, including sexuality.
As the pandemic began to unfold in 2020, Authentic Intimacy was financially stable and in a place to double down in their online ministry. They began doing webinar series, they held Reclaim 2.0 online, and they ramped up online book studies. Hundreds of women and a few men gathered in Zoom rooms to find community and healing. Here's one group participant, Julia.
At that time, I had this reoccurring thought in my head. It would be easier for my parents to find out that I had died than to know that I was gay. And yet, I longed to tell them who I really was. But I was so scared of hurting them. And so that was January 2020. And then COVID hit, of course. And I got an email in my inbox, hey, online book studies are launching for the spring. And I thought, I have nothing to lose. Like, I don't think I could go any lower than this. I'm desperate for friendship. And so I was like, all right, God, I'm signing up. And I'll never forget the terror that I felt right as I clicked join meeting. And on that screen popped these 10 other rectangles. And I didn't know at that time, but that decision to join OBS would change the entire trajectory of my life. And those women would become a crucial part of my transformation and the work that God did in my life by finding a safe community, a place I could be myself and say like, hey, I have no idea how to reconcile what I'm feeling, experiencing in my sexuality with who God is, and I'm desperate for Him to be my healer.
Online book studies became a game changer for AI as a new way to build community with men and women on the other side of the Java with Julie microphones. Book study leaders also received hands-on training and a chance to participate leading conversations about the difficult questions that surround sexuality. They also brought in income, a small income, but enough to sustain the work that went into them. But God was not done yet. Another big change would come in 2020.
In 2020, we launched a second website. So most people are familiar with the AuthenticIntimacy.com website. Mm-hmm. We launched a second website, SexualDiscipleship.com. And that website is part of Authentic Intimacy. It's all the same ministry. But that web platform is for Christian leaders who want to be trained in how do I minister on the topics around sexuality. The way I describe the difference between sexualdiscipleship.com and authenticintimacy.com is I say, authentic intimacy is like a restaurant. We're serving you food. Mm-hmm. We're serving you, hopefully, good spiritual food through the podcast, the events, the books that we write. Sexualdiscipleship.com is the cooking school. We take you back in the kitchen and show you this is how God has led us to create this ministry. We want to teach you how to cook. Now you go start your own restaurant. And your food, it may taste differently than ours does. That's great because God has called you and equipped you to your own community. You can reach people that I can't reach. But the basic truths out of the scripture and how God calls us to minister are the same. So that's what we do at sexualdiscipleship.com.
Here's another online book study member, Brooke. She and her husband, Dane, were already separated when they first encountered authentic intimacy.
When I began this journey, I had kind of decided in my heart, after hearing Julie speak, that God was cruel. He was a cruel God to create us. You know, if everything she was saying was true, he was cruel to create us this way, allow the fall, and then leave us to suffer. And that put me in a huge place of resentment, and I was very angry. And so this idea that when sex becomes confusing, God becomes confusing, I struggled with that for a long time to figure out what did that really mean. It shattered my belief in who God was. Thinking back to the situation and the moments that I started to consider maybe God is not cruel was when I felt like he wanted me to invite him into my pain instead of struggle on my own with it. He wanted a direct invitation to come in my life and try to help me understand I'm not cruel. I love you. This is supposed to be beautiful, and it is. So when I invited him in, I started to see when I dove into the topic of sexuality, realizing that he's not silent on it. He has a lot to say and he cares. And it wasn't just him being okay with sexuality and the struggles. We lived off of the podcasts in the beginning because we didn't trust anybody. We felt like we were critically flawed. There was something very wrong with us. And the podcast gave us exposure to these new truths within the safety and just gave us help that we did not have. We didn't trust people with our story. And then from there, it morphed into being able to do the online Bible studies, which gave us community that we also didn't have. Everybody was there for the same reasons. And I'm so thankful that we found Authentic Intimacy when we did, where I think it could have ended very differently for us.
In 2021, God continued work. In that year alone, AI reached over 9,500 people through events at churches and other ministries across the country. The membership program, which also provided sustainable income for the ministry, grew to over 800 members. Sexual Discipleship grew to almost 300 members. Throughout the year, over 400 people went through an online book study. And each episode of Java with Julie reached over 15,000 people worldwide. This year in June, Julie's 12th book comes out, God, Sex, and Your Marriage. In October, the Authentic Intimacy community will gather in Northeast Ohio once again for Reclaim 2022. As we wrapped up our interview, I asked Julie, how has your view of sexuality changed since you started Authentic Intimacy?
It's been transformed, and it continues to be transformed.
Right.
You know, everything I teach, a lot of times I'll talk about paradigm shifts. I went through all of those paradigm shifts from kind of the silence and embarrassment around sexual topics to being able to integrate these conversations into real life, I went through the paradigm shift of focusing on how do we get rid of sinful behaviors to, no, like God wants to own the territory of our hearts. And so many of the struggles we have with sinful behaviors are rooted in lies we believe, wounds we've experienced. And if we just talk about behaviors, people aren't going deeper with God. And the paradigm shift of the importance of understanding why sexuality matters so much to him and why it's a spiritual battlefield. So I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. My whole view of this has been transformed to the extent to which I will read things that I wrote 12, 15 years ago. And some of them I've taken down. Some of them I've had to rewrite. And what I was writing back then wasn't wrong or not biblical, but my perspective, my framework for how we address and articulate these conversations has developed so much over the years.
Psalm 66 says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Come and see what God has done, his awesome works for mankind." Here's Linda Dillo.
And I am so excited about what God has done in the last 5 years in AI. It is his ministry for this time. And I had a little tiny part in helping prepare her for where she's going now. But I'm going to cry. So, oh, you can't have me cry. But I love AI and I love Julie. And I love to watch God work. And so, what a privilege.
Remember Tim Citrus from New Zealand? One of the three guys who started praying that God would raise up a woman to speak into the space of sexuality in the church?
When we sat down and started planning this out in our mind, there were three blokes sitting around a table going, okay, what does this look like? If we could map it out and we could build it out, what would it look like? And it would look like men and women recognizing that to thrive sexually from an intimacy point of view, they would need to understand God's plan. So God's plan, a theology of marriage, as it were, a theology of sex, what does that actually look like? And we all knew, because we'd been listening to Julie on Focus on the Family, we'd been reading her books. Obviously, she was going down the road in her own way. So when we came together, it really was like God brought these two ships together. But he brought them together out of necessity, right? Which is often how God works. I don't mean to sort of fall over my words, but the fact that this is now, 10 years on, what's being talked about, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't have asked for God to move in any better of a way.
I just think of the hundreds of people that have sacrificed and served and worked alongside me for this ministry to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm looking across the table at you. You're one of them. But people that have been on the staff, people that have served on the board, mm-hmm. people that have been on the prayer team and led the OBS groups, people that have donated faithfully, people that have prayed and I've never even heard their name, but they're prayer warriors. I can't even imagine all the people that God has used for this to have happened. Mm-hmm. And we're all part of this celebration. There's no other way to say it than, you know, God is an amazing God. Mm-hmm. And He took a shepherd boy with 5 stones and killed a giant. You know, mm-hmm. And he will take the least qualified person if you have faith and slay giants.
Scripture says it.
Yeah, so yeah. I can't take any credit for it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. He's an amazing God.
Looking back on what God has done at Authentic Intimacy over the last 10 years, we can't help but agree with the psalmist. He has done awesome things, and we're glad you've been a part of our story as well. We want to say thank you to our producer, Jackie Roberts, and our audio engineers, Stephen Ryder, and the team at Right Turn Media. Thanks for listening. Julian Hannah will be back on June 6th to tell you about Julie's new book, God, Sex, and Your Marriage. You don't want to miss it. That's next time on Java with Julie.